There you go.
This is when Jesus prays in the garden. It's in Luke 22:44. And being in great anxiety, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
This is one that I've memorized back when I first got saved, and it just means an awful lot to me. It doesn't talk about the blood, but it comes from Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It just means an awful lot to me, and if we could all just know that and feel that and submit to that.
Because we'll do this again a little bit later on.
Hebrews 9:22 and then 28. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Praise the Lord. Brother Don, right here, come forward.
I chose verse 15. Jesus faces Pilate immediately in the morning. The chief priests held constitution with the elders and the scribes and whole council, and they bound Jesus, and they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "It is as you say." In that verse, to me, he tells the whole world who he is.
Amen. Amen. Very good. All right, we'll sing another song. Those of you who have other verses, we'll have another opportunity here in just a moment to share share your verses with us. All right, we're going to sing number 42, I believe, next, Brother Mike.
Let's all stand. Hymn number 42.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
You may be seated. We have a great Savior, don't we? Have a great Savior. Praise God. More verses. Let's have some more verses, you guys. They had that whole sheet filled up at 8:30, and there's way, way less people. I shouldn't say way, way less, but there's less people here at 8:30 than there is here. All right, who's next? Mr. Gant.
Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and he loved them not their lives unto death.
That's all we have? I can't see. Oh, Mr. Carnicelli, right there, Gabe, right to your right, and then get Doris.
I wanted to do John 5:29, but then I realized that you have to connect that with the 28th verse because you won't understand. Okay, can I do two? Okay. This is 28, and this will be, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Amen. Well, mine's is one of the simple ones, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. It might be a simple verse, but it's the greatest truth you'll ever learn in the Bible, that's for sure. Joan.
Mine is from John 13:21. Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And it shows me that God is always watching you, knows everything you think and do.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Right behind you, Luke.
Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Amen.
Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool.
Amen. I thought I saw it somewhere right there. Nikki.
This verse is one I learned actually from RU, and it's Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Brother Mike had that at 8:30 this morning. Amen. Who else got a Bible verse? Brenda does over here. Okay.
This is John 6:54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
Amen. Amen. Right here. Two and a half verse.
Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, I unto the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
This is from the Last Supper. It's Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, for which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Praise God. Anyone else over there? Luke, Gabe, and me, Rachel, Miss Behringer. Whoop, the other way. There you go. Then you can come back. I didn't see who had their hand up, but you can get that one too.
1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else right there. Gabe had your hand up. Miss Gamut, it was. Or Luke. Do you already got a mic?
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen. That's a good one. Adam?
It's been said before that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and that the New Testament is in the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed.
Amen.
And so I want to read here from Numbers chapter 21, verses 7 through 9, and remembering that a serpent represents sin. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live."
Amen.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Praise the Lord. And in John 3:14, Jesus used that in his, when he spoke to Nicodemus. John?
Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Amen. Amen. That's one of my favorite verses. Tony.
Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Praise the Lord. Good verses. I appreciate everybody participating in the service. It's a blessing. Makes it kind of homey. Bill?
Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Good, good, good. One more. Wanda.
This is Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.
Amen and amen. All right. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Only two verses actually went together, one in Revelation that Brother Gant read, and then Galatians 2:20. And there was a lot of them earlier from Isaiah 53. You know, that's a great verse. Faith's going to sing for us. Go ahead, Faith.
I could tell you the story, how thousands were fed, how he lifted the sick and raised up the dead. I could sing of the others, like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what he's done for me. I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Now you must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it at all. So trust in the Savior, he'll save you today. Then with blessed assurance, you too can say, I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and I'm saved to the
chosen shout for joy, man. I don't know. Anyways, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We're not done singing today, but we'll have the message and then we'll sing a couple more songs. Matthew chapter 27. When you find it, I want you to stand with me. We're going to read a short section from Matthew's Gospel. I got nervous when I heard somebody say Matthew 29. What are they going to say next when they said 6? But Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read verses 45 through verse 46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Let's pray. Father, would you please add your blessing to the reading of your word? I thank you for all the songs. I thank you for all the verses. I thank you for the participation of your people. But we are here to worship you. We are to exalt you and to lift your name up on high. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would remove the stuff that's in our minds and help us to focus on that very thing. To worship, love, show our appreciation, our adoration for the one who shed his blood, for the one who went to Calvary. And so, Lord, as we read and study this text, bless it to our hearts, we pray. And if there be one here that does not know thee as personal Savior and Lord, save them. And if there be a Christian here who's not right with God, may they get a good, fresh look at another thing that Jesus has done for them. May they love him and appreciate him more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We went through the life of Christ according to the Gospel of John. The other Gospels give us details John leaves out, and John gives details that the other Gospels, we call them sometimes the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that they put in. One of them is, Richard, did you read from Gethsemane? Was it you that read about Gethsemane? Somebody read about Gethsemane when the Lord was in the garden praying. John doesn't mention Gethsemane. Probably the greatest spiritual battle that has ever been fought was fought in Gethsemane. But John omitted that. I don't know why. You have to ask the Lord when you get to heaven, I guess. I have no idea. But the other Gospels put it in. That's an example of one thing where John doesn't record something, but the others do. We're going to look a little bit here at Matthew's account of the end of the Savior's earthly life. Matthew chapter 27 starts out partially through the trial about Jesus, but some of the trial of Jesus is in Matthew 26. So when you get to chapter 27 here, he talks a little bit about the trial of Jesus. He then mentions that Judas Iscariot had committed suicide. He goes out, kills himself. He was then, Jesus was, in verse 32 here, sentenced to die. Verses 27 through 31, just before that, is another account where the soldiers beat the Savior, they mock him, and they lead him to Calvary. And then they get Simeon to carry his cross to Calvary. That's why we started our church service this morning singing about at Calvary, because that reminds us of the person and work of Jesus Christ, where Jesus went to the cross, where he shed his blood, where he gave his life. And so we think about Calvary. Well, they led him to Calvary. And then Matthew goes on in verses 31 through 38, and he talks about the crucifixion. Now, we've covered a lot of those particular things. We didn't cover, I don't know that we covered anything that is mentioned here in verses 45 on through in Matthew's gospel. Now, I want you to think about something, and this is really the main thought of the message, but not necessarily the message itself. Jesus was rejected by the Father. We didn't mention that, I don't think, when we were in John's gospel. Now, I'm going to mention this again later, but I'm going to mention it now as well. The Bible says this: some of you have felt rejection in your life. But the Bible, so you'll be able to relate to this. In Hebrews, the Bible says we have not a high priest. It says Jesus was tempted, our high priest, Jesus, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Everything that we feel, he's felt. Every way that we've been tempted, he's been tempted. So if some of you have felt rejection, Jesus has felt rejection. Whatever it is that I face in my life, doesn't matter what it is, Jesus has already faced that. And of course, he always wins. So that's the main thought for the message, and also how the Lord loves us and the amazing love. Jesus was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning. From 9 to 12, he hung on the cross in the light. Could you take whoever's making all that, or put a binky in his mouth? I don't know what to tell you what to do. Anybody got some candy? That'll quiet any kid up in a hurry. Anyway, from 9 to 12, he hung on the cross in the light. But at noontime, there was this miraculous darkness, and it covered the land. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not a sandstorm. It's not some kind of an eclipse, because there are liberal writers that will tell you it was an eclipse or it was a sandstorm. It wasn't an eclipse. It wasn't a sandstorm. It was a heaven-sent darkness that lasted for 3 hours, and it covered at least this area of Jerusalem. It was like all of creation was sympathizing with the Creator. There are 3 hours of darkness in the middle of the day before the Lamb of God died for the sins of the world. In that daylight time, just before the darkness fell, Jesus spoke 3 times. And why don't you turn to Luke chapter 23, and then we'll come back. You guys have turned to enough passages of Scripture and read enough. I'm not going to have you turn all over. But I do want you to turn to Matthew 23, and I'll read a couple passages here. Jesus, this is one of the things that Jesus prayed. It's in Luke 23 and verse 34. Now he's on the cross, and he says this: Father, we know it's a prayer because he addressed his Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine Jesus being on the cross and praying, Father, forgive them? You know what that is? That's amazing love. Amen. If I was the guy that was headed to the cross, I'm not sure I would have said, Father, forgive these. They don't know what they're doing. I'd like to think I would. You'd like to think you would, but I can't promise you that you'd have done that either. But Jesus did. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was literally on the cross when he said that. To me, That's amazing love. Amazing love. The second thing he did, he said, he spoke to the repentant thief and assured him that he'd have a place in paradise. Look there at verse 39. In the same chapter you're at. One of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, he's a dummy, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, that is the other thief that was being crucified, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Here's the way it works. You and I never receive the due reward for our deeds. Jesus took them, and he did nothing amiss. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, let me say something. This might be the first guy that was ever saved by reading a gospel tract. You say, preacher, where's the gospel tract? Well, it's in verse 38. A superscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is King of the Jews. Now, I know that's a stretch to say that was a gospel tract, all right? But evidently, he had watched this and had heard from Jesus anyway. We know this. We know that Jesus saved that guy on the cross. We know that he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The third thing we know, and that is in John's gospel, and we talked about this, so you can turn back to Matthew chapter 27. While it was still light, Jesus put his mother into the care of John. But then, darkness came. Verse 45 says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Jesus, now in this darkness, will be silent for 3 hours. After 3 hours, the darkness lifts, and now it's light again. And then Jesus cries out in Psalm 22 and verse 1. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was rejected by the Father. Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Now it's worded like this here in verse 46 of Matthew 27. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was during the darkness that Jesus was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He had been forsaken by the Father. Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. You've ever felt rejection? Probably everybody in here has felt rejection to some level or another. But have you ever felt rejection, rejection? Probably in our life, and our most of us, maybe the worst type of, I've not been there, but some people have been divorced. It's got to be the worst form of rejection there is. To give your life to somebody and they reject you because of that. And here Jesus is rejected. Rejected by his own Father. The darkness was a symbol of the judgment that he endured when he was made a curse for us. Now I want you to think about this. This is amazing love. The Savior of the world. The sins of you and I and everybody in the world laid upon him, and he has to cry out. Psalm 22 and verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It goes on in verse 2, and it suggests a period of light and a period of darkness. And then verse 3 emphasizes the holiness of God. Now listen, how could a holy God look up with favor on his Son who had become sin for us? And it was in that those dark hours when he became sin for us. And so you know what the Father had to do? The Father had to turn his face up from him. Jesus spoke these words in Hebrew, the ones here in Matthew 27. But the spectators didn't understand them. Some of them, in verse 47 says, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. Well, Jesus wasn't calling for Elijah's help. He didn't need Elijah's help. Had they listened carefully and had they understood Psalm 22 correctly in its entirety, they would have understood the truth. Then, in a rapid succession, the Lord spoke three more times after the darkness lifted. In John 19, verse 28, well, let's go back here just from he said, I thirst. You don't need to turn there. And that fulfills Psalm 69, 21. Somebody, this part is recorded here, verse 48, straightway one of them ran, understood, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Now, somebody took a sponge and did that. They had pity on him. Verse 49, the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. So Elijah didn't come. I don't know why they thought that, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Then I want you to look at verse 49 and 50. The rest said, let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, what did he cry with a loud voice right there? It's not recorded there, but it's very clearly recorded in others. It is what? Finished. It is finished. What was finished? The work of redemption was finished. The sacrifice for the sins of the world had been made. And he said, it is finished. Now, I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice how he said it. He said it in a loud voice. It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He shouted with a loud voice. That indicates that he was in complete control of his faculties, that he voluntarily yielded up his spirit, and he died. Recently, I was somewhere, and there was a couple guys preaching. It wasn't when we were in New Jersey. It was before that. But and one young preacher got up, a preacher boy, and then after him was an older pastor that was preaching. The preacher boy said, evidently, Jesus suffocated to death. And then the senior pastor got up, and he says, he didn't suffocate to death. He said it very kindly, very gently, very politely, like you should always when you correct people. But he said he didn't suffocate. He voluntarily gave his life. And while suffocation is the normal form of death when somebody was crucified, Jesus didn't suffocate. He said with a loud voice, he was in complete control. And he said, it is finished, and then he gave up the ghost. Now, when that happened, three miraculous things happened simultaneously. The first one, it said here, look at verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The temple where the Holy of Holies is, and you've got the veil in there, it was tore from the top to the bottom. Nobody had ever seen anything like that happen before. The second one is at the end of that very same verse, where it said, and the earth did quake, and the rocks went rent. There was an earthquake. And evidently, at the time of the earthquake, the third miracle is in verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, the veil. The veil being torn. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Somebody read from this earlier. The way to God is open. We don't go to a priest. We don't have sacrifices. We don't practice the Day of Atonement any longer. Jesus, when he died, the veil was rent in twain. Now, I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage to follow along. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by one offering, that one offering was himself. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I like where it says perfected forever. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There doesn't need to be any more offerings for sin. Jesus' offering satisfied the just demands of God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There is no more sacrifice for sins. The veil was tore from the top to the bottom. And I'll tell you something else. There's no more priests. Not in the form of like Catholicism or the other religious groups that have priests. Did you know in the New Testament all believers are priests? We're priests. And let me say this. There is, now we call this the altar area. But there really are no more altars. You know why there's no more altars? We're not making any blood sacrifices. Nobody's putting the blood in a bowl out there and after they killed their lamb and bringing it in here and sprinkling the blood on the altars. Those were all done away with when Jesus died and shed his blood. And every person in here has direct access to God through Jesus Christ. No more sacrifices. Jesus was the one for all sacrifices for the sins of the world. And he finished the work of salvation, and we started our service this morning at Calvary. He finished it at the cross. Now, the earthquake reminds us of what had happened on Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses in Exodus chapter 19. The earthquake at Calvary signified that the demands of the law had been met and the curse of the law was forever abolished. And I'm not going to read that, but you can read that in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews is a great book, verses 18 through 24. The veil being torn indicates that Jesus conquered sin. The earthquake suggests that he conquered the law and fulfilled it. The opening of the graves, listen, proves that he defeated death. Now, nobody may have seen these people that had come out of the graves at first walking around. It isn't likely that many centurions were, it's not likely that really anybody was in the graveyard. Look at verse 53. It was at Passover, and the centurions and others, they all would have been in the city and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. So evidently they were out of the city, and then they came into where everybody else was in the city. Now, ain't nobody ever seen nothing like that before. I don't know what their response was, but I know what it says in verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, like the rocks being rent, like the graves being opened, and like these people walking around, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, that testimony of that centurion, by the way, he's right. He was the Son of God. Whether that is a saving faith or not, nobody really knows but God or the centurion by now. Or is it just a reflection on the circumstances that he was witnessing while he was there? Now, let me say this. This is a little bit more of what Jesus did for us. He was rejected for us, rejected by the Father. I'm going to close with this, and then I'm going to ask Mike come and lead us in another song here in just a moment. You know what the worst thing about going into eternity is? No Jesus. Jesus isn't there. God's not there. Because God's not in hell. Jesus isn't in hell. And I know they're the same. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, here's what you have to look forward to. Hell initially, and the lake of fire eventually.
And you know what? No fellowship with God. No fellowship with God. Well, preacher, I've heard people say this countless times. My friends are going to be in hell anyway. What makes you think they're going to be your friends there? No reason to believe that people in hell hang out, have a good time. It's that they'd be foolish to think that. What makes you think that's going to ever happen? I can't imagine why people think that, but you've heard it. I've heard it multiple times. Jesus died to pay for our sins. You trust him and him alone as payment for your sins. Now, all Christians, you think about everything that Jesus did for us. How in the world, how can we keep from singing? I like to sing. I sing a lot. Jamie's sitting behind me and Lily. Dad, will you stop swinging? No, I can't stop singing. Let's have every head bowed and every eye. Well, you know what? No, we won't. Mike, come on up here. Now, we're going to sing this hymn. This one's going to be on the wall because, and hopefully you all know the tune, but Mike's got to use a different hymn book even. So the words are going to be on the wall because our hymn book doesn't really have this. It don't have what it needs to have in it. All right, let's sing this song. Let's stand. Mike, lead us, please.
44.
For me, who caused his pain, for me, who
Isn't it? Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now here, just a moment, we're going to partake of communion together. I'll give you instruction on that in just a moment. But I want to say two things first. Number one, if you are here and you do not know for sure Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would ask you to do one of two things. Obviously, do not partake of communion because you don't qualify. Secondly, you can come right now when faith begins to play here in a moment and someone will show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Secondly, you are to be right with God. If you're here this morning and you aren't right with God, you know of known habitual sin in your life, you have no plan on dealing with it, you have no plan on getting it out, don't partake of communion. You are to be right with God. You are to be walking in obedience with Him. Beyond that, if you are saved and you know that your life is right with God and you know you're walking in sweet fellowship with the Lord, you are all invited to partake of communion with us. But if not, don't. With that said, I'm going to have faith to play. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, before we prayed together, now you pray privately. If there's something in your life not right, get it right. If you're here this morning and you are not positive heaven is your eternal home, you're not positive that you know for sure Jesus Christ is your Savior, you come. Just slip out of the pew where you are and come, and I'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Christians, you're praying. You're getting things right with God. You're meditating on the things of the Lord. And you're preparing yourself to do a very sacred thing, enjoy Holy Communion. Those of you fellas that are going to help, you can come ahead now. Now the ushers are going to pass out a representation of the body of Christ. Obviously, we don't do hocus pocus. This is the literal body, okay, in blood. But we partake of communion together, okay? So everybody, don't anybody just get it and eat. Wait for everybody to get there so we can share communion together, okay? All right, Faith, go ahead. Good, guys. Thank you. Well, when Jesus had the Last Supper with his apostles, he took the bread and he gave thanks. This is a representation of the broken body of Jesus, and so I'm going to ask Brother Matt here if he'd give thanks for the broken body of our Lord.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, to participate in this remembrance of what was done that day in Calvary.
Amen.
The broken body of Jesus Christ, because of your love and your grace, that you made that way back to us, Lord. As we partake, that we would remember this.
Yes.
And also be heartbroken that was the sacrifice that was cost.
Amen.
And the great cost. We thank you and praise you in all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You may go ahead. Same thing, wait for everybody to do this together as well. This represents the blood of Christ, and said after supper likewise. So Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. So Brother Case, if you would give thanks for the shed blood of our Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the shed blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We thank you, Lord God, for shedding your blood that we can have life. And Lord, as we remember this, Lord, let us remember the great sacrifice you made for us and rejoice in the shed blood. And look forward to the day you come back.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Be seated, fellas. Well, we're going to sing one more song. Praise the Lord. I think this song is perfectly for the situation. Go ahead, Mike.
Let's all stand.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb on his throne. Our God, help me, and the ground's on you.
may be seated. Make sure you get a bulletin if you didn't get one on the way in, so you guys can be seated for a minute. And I'm not going to make all the announcements. The week is the same. But at the bottom of the bulletin, it says upcoming events, and that's not even all of them. But there are a lot of things that are coming up. We have several backyard Bible clubs. I had one yesterday. I have one here this afternoon, my wife and I. And if somebody wants to help us, you're welcome to do so. And then there's one on the 7th, which is tomorrow. There's another one on the 10th. And if you'd like to help, see me, Bill, or Mrs. Scant. You say, why are you doing all these backyard Bible clubs? Well, we're just trying to build the kingdom of God and see people saved, number one. And number two, we're trying to, you know, promote our vacation Bible school. And so we've been doing a lot of door knocking, and we've been trying to get the word of God out for people. Vacation Bible school then comes up. You pray for them. Pray for the one this afternoon. And you never know what to expect when you go to them. You don't know if anybody's going to be. You don't know anything. So you get there and find out. And so you pray for that one this afternoon and tomorrow and then Thursday again. We might throw another one in there Thursday as well. Then we have Vacation Bible School that starts August 12th is our setup day. And then we begin on August the 14th. If you'll notice, it says we need some men to hang murals. We could use your guys' help on the 12th getting set up for Vacation Bible School. All right? And then, so there's different things going on. Then we have a professional day with the co-op. Brother Stiles will be with us that evening. State Fair soul winning booth. If you want to go soul winning, you're serious about soul winning, we have September 3rd, which must be a Tuesday or Wednesday, and August 29th are the 2 days that we signed up for the fair. I think the one on August, one of those days is a Sunday. The 3rd is a Sunday, and then August 29th, go backwards on the calendar, and you can figure out what that is. And so if you want to help do that, and it fits your schedule, sign up and do that. Make sure you get a bulletin. Next Sunday also, Mr. Morrison has been teaching my Sunday school class on the marks of a true winner for Christ. He'll continue to teach that. I'm going to be starting a series next week that deals with people's personal problems. It's like group counseling almost. And I'm going to start, well, that's what it is. And I'm going to start out with the issue of anger. And then we're going to go in different directions with that. I have no idea how many lessons on each subject. I don't even know. I haven't wrote them yet, so I don't have any idea. But anyway, which I guess I better get started on that, huh? But anyway, so that'll start next week. It'll be in the choir room, the choir practice room in the back. And these are issues that people deal with these issues in part of their life today. So if you're welcome to come. Mr. Morrison will continue the series he's doing. How long, many weeks are you going to be passing? I don't have any idea. And I'll go until I get done. But so we'll figure that out when we get there. All right. Well, let's do one more thing this morning. Let's worship. These guys are waiting. Let's worship the Lord with our tithes and our gifts and our offerings so you guys can stand back up. And let's give faithfully to the Lord. He's an amazing God. Amen. He's our great Savior. We praise Him and we sing to Him and we adore Him and we love Him. And this is just another way that we have an opportunity to worship Him. And He's worthy of all of our worship. And one day, we will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by the way, every tongue will bow, even the lost people's tongue, and they're going to say the same thing. And I can't wait for that day to happen. Brother Ed, I ask the Lord to bless the offering. Would you please?